In terms of the opioid crisis, on January 4th, Arapaho House on the Front Range, one of the oldest and largest treatment centers, it was like 40 years old, and I believe it opened in 1976, they just shut their doors. They had 8 centers on the Front Range, and they just shut their doors. And I'm wondering, when you talk about money for opioid, the opioid crisis and treatment, how would you respond to the fact that due to a financial crunch, one of the most respected treatment centers and largest in the state just closed its doors?
Well, and that's, and maybe you can tell me, where was all their funding coming from, Amy?
You know, I don't know that.
Because we did see out of the Health and Human Services, we'd had $7.5 million that came back to the state of Colorado. The resources that we're able to help get back to our state are then handled by the state of Colorado. They're going to be individually directed unless there's a direct grant that we'll be able to go through. But we have had those resources that have been flowing back through the administration and through the participation, I think, frankly, of all of our delegation to be able to get some monies back into our communities, to be able to get those local solutions to be able to address it. But the example that you cite is certainly unfortunate, but we have had some of those federal resources that are coming back.
You're talking about rural communities in Colorado, and I'm curious about the CHP Plus, the Children's Health Plan Plus monies, and the Championing Healthy Kids Act. Can you talk about the status of that bill and how it might help families that currently receive CHP Plus assistance?
You bet, and I think it's essential, and I'm glad you brought that point up. We passed it through the House a couple of months ago. In the continuing resolutions, we have passed it again out of the House of Representatives. We'd like to be able to see the Senate actually act on this, to be able to get this done for families that need the help. I visited with families from Craig to Cortez and over into Pueblo as well that do rely on CHIP, and it's something that will be renewed. It's a bipartisan piece of legislation. We have passed it out of the House of Representatives, and I know you know as the legislative process works, in order for it to actually become formally law, we do have to be able to get the Senate to participate as well and get that presidential signature. But on the House side, we have acted. We'll continue to do it until they respond and get the job done.
And one thing about jobs, you were talking about energy. I'd like to talk a little bit about marijuana. As you know, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions recently rescinded the Obama-era policy of federal non-interference with state marijuana laws, which includes Colorado. In response to his rescinding that, you said that the Department of Justice should provide guidance on enforcement of marijuana for states that have voted to legalize it. What do you mean by that?
Well, when we legalized it in Colorado by a vote of the people through an initiative process, we were relying on the Cole Amendment. The federal government had said that they were not going to be aggressively or actively enforcing it, so it left it up to the states. Colorado responded. Colorado and voters of Colorado voted to legalize recreational marijuana. We need to make sure that the will of the people is actually recognized and supported because we've had businesses that have now started up. We do have state regulation that is in place. I think there's probably going to be more coming in terms of maybe THC levels that are going to be addressed. But this is something to where, unfortunately, and it's gone by executive action under the Obama administration with the Cole Amendment. We aren't going to enforce it. States correspondingly chose to make it legal within the states, California most recently, to be able to do that. And we do need to be able to create that certainty for those businesses. And it's got a broader reach as well. Just being able to bank those resources as well is something that we're working on and working with Congressman Perlmutter out of Colorado as well.
Well, what do you think will happen as a result of Attorney General Sessions' decision?
Well, I actually had the opportunity to visit with Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman on that issue 2 days ago to be able to get her assessment. As of 2 days ago, she said she didn't really see a change. When you look at the memorandum that was put out by Attorney General Sessions, he was leaving the discretion up to the U.S. Attorney in the state. to be able to direct it, and it was Attorney General Kaufman's opinion at the time that we probably wouldn't see a change in Colorado.
You mentioned that you are in favor of moving the Bureau of Land Management headquarters to the western United States. What would be some of your favorite locations? Would Grand Junction be included in that?
Grand Junction would certainly be my favorite location for that. You know, you do have to have that access for airports. Interstates are great. And a good central location. I know moving it to the west, obviously, big area. We have people from other states that might like to see it in different locations, but we'd certainly be advocating to be able to get it near us on the west slope.
I really appreciate your taking the time to talk about some key issues. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Amy. Good to visit with you.
All
Happy
right.
New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks.